Welcome or welcome back to Horse for Horror. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week we are covering A Family Annihilation.
No.
Wah, wah.
No.
And this is actually a recording out of our back catalog for whenever our podcast was called Perfect Dismay. So if you've been around since the beginning, you probably heard this one, but I feel like we've grown a little bit, so my research is a little bit better and storytelling skills are slightly better. But so yeah, give it a listen, even if you have heard it.
I agree. Yeah. Also, just really quickly, we've been getting a lot more follows and likes and listens, which is really great. And one of those is my friend Megan. So shout out Megan if you're still listening. Thank you.
Hey yo, Megan, what's up? Yeah, I accidentally uploaded some Instagram posts to Kayla's Facebook, so.
I was like, how does she even know about that?
Hello to everyone who knows Kayla intimately.
Yeah, so. Thanks, guys.
Hannah Clark was born on September 8th, 1988 in Australia to her parents Sue and Lloyd Clark. She was described as a fit and active child. She actually represented Queensland in trampoline sports from when she was 16 to when she was 19 and won gold and silver medals during that time.
What's a trampoline sport? The gymnastics
thing. Like, yeah, gymnastics, oh, okay. Trampoline, yeah. Do a bunch of flips, okay, cool. And stuff. Stuff that looks easy on TV, but then in real life I know it'd be super hard.
I feel like the rhythm would be so hard to master, though.
It's yes, just kind of we're two white women, awkward. So yeah.
That's fair.
As an adult, Hannah was a business owner. She owned a CrossFit gym and coached children's gymnastic classes. And she was also a loving mother to her three children. So her first child was a daughter named Aaliyah, I believe is how it's said. So Aaliyah was described as articulate and bright, excelling beyond her peers in reading. And she would often like telling stories to her younger siblings at night. The middle child was another daughter named Leanna, who was described as the little dynamite of the family. She was always trying to make everyone laugh, and I guess she like brought in like chaotic energy to the family, which isn't that how middle children usually are? And then the youngest was a boy named Trey, who knew how to kick and pass a soccer ball at only 3 years old. So that's like...
That's impressive.
I have no concept of how children age, but I'm impressed, so. Trey was also described as a very much a mummy's boy.
Isn't that British?
Aren't they like the same accent?
No.
Oh, oops. Oops.
Wait, how do they say it? How do they say it?
Mummy.
Mum. It's mum.
But mummy would be the...
But also, you were right. It's common in Australia and the UK.
Okay, good.
So never mind.
Mummy. I'm sure someone's going to tell us, like, you assholes. You know, whatever. It's the internet, people.
I love the accents. It's really nice.
Yeah. No shade.
So true.
So in early 2020, Hannah had told her family and friends that she was especially excited for the new year. Oh, COVID. She was viewing it as a fresh start as she'd recently separated from her husband, Rowan Baxter.
Wait, she separated from her husband and then, like, COVID hit?
Yeah.
God, that sucks.
Hannah had actually met Rowan back in 2008 when Hannah was 19 and working at a local gym. At the time, Rowan was 30 and actually married to another woman.
That's what we call a red flag.
Okay, gets worse because the woman and Rowan had a son together who was a student in Hannah's classes.
Ew.
That's how he met Hannah. Also, that age gap makes me like, yeah. But hey.
Wait. In her school classes?
No, she was 19 teaching his kid.
Yeah, she's this. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he's 30.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
So at this time, Rowan's first wife, who let's call her Penelope because she's referred to as Miss PP in the court documents, had decided that she was ready to divorce Rowan. They'd met when she was 16 and Rowan was 18, and almost immediately after getting married, Rowan started to exhibit anger issues and tried to control her behavior. Eventually, the two had their son, which is what prompted Penelope to want to leave even more. However, Rowan refused to accept it. Anytime she would try to leave him, he would show up uninvited to where she was. He would love bomb her, leave notes on her car, and then he would even threaten to just, quote, end it all if she did not come back. Penelope told the police that she felt like she had no choice but to get together with Rowan on numerous occasions. And eventually in 2007, they moved from New Zealand to Australia, which in 2008 is where Rowan met Hannah. So Hannah and Rowan, when they met, they obviously had some shared attraction, which led to Rowan telling Hannah that he and Penelope weren't actually together. They were just living together for the sake of their kid.
Sure.
Don't
Okay.
worry, my wife is a total cool chick. Like, don't worry.
Yeah, we have an open relationship. Which, if that's your thing, then that's your thing.
Yeah, no shade, but like, both of you need to be aware that it's an open relationship.
Ethically, what is it?
Yeah.
Ethically, what's it called?
Oh, I don't know.
Ethically non-monogamous. Yeah. The ethical part is the important part.
However, according to one of Rowan's friends, Rowan continued to live with Penelope because he could not afford to move out on his own, and that Penelope knew Rowan was cheating on her, and that Rowan liked to make her like sad and mad and upset. That's what he enjoyed about it.
Ew.
But just 4 months after meeting Hannah, Rowan decided that he would grant Penelope a divorce, and he actually moved out and moved in with one of his friends. So Penelope was finally free of him after that.
Good for her.
Seriously.
Success.
6 months after meeting, Hannah became pregnant by Rowan, and she'd initially wanted to keep the child. According to court documents, Hannah was still living at home around this time, and Rowan actually pressured her to not have the baby, telling her that she was too young to be a mom, their relationship was too new, and eventually Hannah aborted the pregnancy.
Like, maybe that's a conversation that you guys have before.
Yeah, make sure you're on the same page before rolling around in the sheets, you know?
So true. So true.
In 2012, Hannah became pregnant again, and at this time, the two decided to get married. They married in Kingscliff, New South Wales, which don't ask me where that is. I have no fucking clue. I'm assuming somewhere in Australia in October of that year.
Was UK. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Go.
Well, this is in Australia. Okay, so Hannah's parents actually paid for the wedding as the couple had limited funds. And Rowan was allegedly upset about the wedding gifts, telling Hannah that he expected that more guests would provide money so they could have an overseas honeymoon.
Okay.
Like, don't say that
Wait,
out
what?
loud, dude. Like, if you were disappointed by the gifts you got for your wedding, like, don't say it out loud, you ungrateful
But also
man.
there's a registry, like just say that.
It's
Like
back in
just put that on
2010.
your registry.
2012. So I don't know if the registries were as pop. I don't know because I was in high school, so I literally don't know if they were popular.
No, registries were so oh. Well, I guess the online registries were not, but you had to like go into stores like with your little scanner.
Oh, the gun. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Similar to how Rowan treated Penelope, he immediately began controlling aspects of Hannah's life after they wed. He began telling her how she could and could not dress.
No, thank you.
For example, Hannah wasn't allowed to wear shorts, short skirts, anything pink, or bikinis off the beach, as these were all deemed too sexy. But she could wear her bikini on the beach, just not off, so.
Yeah. Also, how dare you wear pink? Pink is way too
It's
sexy.
way too feminine. Oh my God.
You will be wearing black all day. Actually, that's what I prefer.
Yeah, that's me. I do that.
Stephen's so
punishment would be you can't wear black.
Yeah, same. Like, our clothes are just in a pile because we just have not been putting them up. We've been, they're all clean. And they're all fucking dark colors.
Yeah.
So it's so hard to find anything because everything looks the damn same.
Mm-hmm. Rowan also demanded that Hannah always find time to sunbathe each day so that she would always have bronzed skin.
You cannot wear a bikini off the beach, but you better be suntanning. Shut up. What is he doing to keep his
appearance? Oh, don't worry. We'll get to what he's been doing.
Oh, good. Okay.
So Rowan also controlled Hannah's social life by, shocking, forbidding her from having her own Facebook page and monitoring who she spoke with and for how long. He also attempted to isolate Hannah by driving a wedge between her and her family, which is a common abuser tactic. Hannah's mom, Sue, recalled that after they got married, his personality flipped like a light switch, and he often began openly criticizing Sue in front of Hannah and her brother.
Honestly, if the people that are super close to you and have been in your life for a while are telling you that something's going on and you can't see it, you should probably just trust them.
Yeah, just do like a little self-evaluation.
I feel like we said this last time.
Yeah, too, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So Rowan also stopped Hannah and her children from attending the weekly family barbecues at her parents' house. He also borrowed Hannah's brother's car under the guise that he would only need it for a few days, but that turned into weeks, and then that turned into months, and he put over 18,000 miles on the car and left him with over $200 in unpaid toll bills. And when Hannah's brother said that he, you know, wanted his car back and that Rowan could no longer drive it, Rowan refused to talk to him and attempted to pressure Hannah to sever ties with her brother also.
Just report it stolen.
That's, yeah, what the brother should have done, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, Hannah and Rowan opened their own CrossFit gym named Integrate.
I don't like that.
Yeah, and it's Inter, and then GR, and the number 8, Integrate. So it's funny. I think it's funny.
Integrate?
Integrate.
Inter. E, okay, spell it.
Integrgr and the number 8. Integrate.
What the fuck does that mean? Integrate?
Integrate.
What does that mean? Is that a word?
Yeah, integrate, yeah.
I see. Combine one thing with another so that they become a whole.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hate that.
I think it's funny. Hannah's parents, Sue and Lloyd, invested about $18,000 in the gym startup, and another unnamed investor contributed about another
$40,000. Why is Sue gonna be helping if he's over there criticizing her?
Well, it's also her daughter, so I'm sure she's trying to like help her daughter out more so than Rowan.
But doesn't she already have her own gym?
No, Hannah was, no, it's a public gym that Hannah was working at. The one that we mentioned in the beginning, this is the one, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay, never mind.
Sadly, the gym did not do well, though. They were constantly behind on rent and bills, and often Sue and Lloyd were forced to pay the monthly bills because Rowan and Hannah would leave the bills in their mailbox. Yeah.
How are you forced to pay that? Is your name on it?
I don't know. But, I mean, trying to help their kid. I mean, I can't, if I had the means to, I can't say I wouldn't. If my baby.
There's a certain point where you don't, yeah. At a certain point, it's just like enabling.
Yeah. But we're also childless, so. We say that.
So true, my child. So.
Also, unsurprisingly, Rowan was a terrible businessman. Clearly, he mismanaged the money, and he was blunt with individuals who were just touring the gym, telling them they were, quote, worthless pigs if they did not immediately sign up after the tour.
I would not go to your gym if that's what you think. What the fuck is wrong with
him? And in the photos, he's, like, clearly, like, a meathead, you know? So I'm like, oh, I know this gym's atmosphere. Like, no.
Yeah. Could not. Was he on steroids? Probably not, right? He didn't look like
it. I didn't see anything confirmed, but he was pretty big. Like, pretty cut.
But does he have the man boobs?
Oh, I didn't look that hard.
Yeah.
Sadly. I'll upload some to Instagram and the viewers can take their pick. Let us know how you feel about those man boobs. Rowan also started demanding sex from Hannah every night. If Hannah didn't show any enthusiasm or excitement, he would punish the children by taking away their toys or canceling planned trips to the beach. If Hannah rejected the sex, he refused to speak to her or the children, often for days at a time.
Good. Don't speak. Like,
after their first daughter was born in 2013, he would not allow Sue to watch her or to even have the baby stay over at her house. In 2015, when Hannah became pregnant with their second child, Hannah told Sue that Rowan had slammed a gate on her leg so hard that it caused a purple and blue bruise. After Trey was born in 2016, Rowan cut back his time at the gym, working for only 3 days a week, and he used the other 4 days to rest while he prepped for competitions.
I mean, I'm for that.
Meanwhile, Hannah was coaching multiple classes a day at their gym, managing their gym, working a second job at Athlete's Foot two days a week, and taking online classes and caring for their children and cleaning the home.
Holy shit.
Also, Rowan would criticize the state of their house, telling Hannah that it looked like a pigsty, and he would ask her what she did each day. So, if you need to hate him even more,
get your ass and do it yourself.
I should have said this at the top, but I do just want to say that, like, he's like a classic abuser, and
yeah.
Just in the format of the show, there were so many, like, smaller instances of abuse that, like, we just don't have time to cover because that's not the format. But if you are interested, there's a coroner's inquest that had so much detail on their relationship and details what coercive control is and why Hannah was staying with Rowan and why, like, there's nothing that anyone could have done because he was just, like, a straight-up monster. So... it's really good. There's a lot of good resources out there. We'll have them linked in the bio, as always. In May of 2019, which is the same year that the two separated, they separated later on, but Hannah confided in her mother that Rowan had wanted sex the night before, or that night, I'm sorry, and Hannah did not, which resulted in a huge fight, and Rowan took Hannah's watch, smashed it up against the wall before storming out of the house. Hannah discovered that a garden hose was missing, so she began to fear that Rowan might kill himself because he would often threaten to do this when he was unhappy and not getting his way. Classic abuser. Hannah's parents spent the evening looking for him despite the terrible ways that he treated them, which I think says a lot about, like, how they're good people. And yeah, Rowan is just, like, terrible. So eventually Rowan returned home the next morning, and he told Hannah that he'd driven to a church parking lot and had tried to kill himself, but was unsuccessful.
I feel like he didn't try that, and it's just another form of manipulation.
Oh, yeah. In September of 2019, Hannah was turning 30, and she decided that, unlike I will, she did not want to make it a big celebration. She'd rather just have a dinner with a small group of her friends and family. And of course, Rowan did not listen to her. He attempted to plan this massive surprise party at the gym. But unfortunately, Hannah had really good friends. So one of her friends was like, hey, dude, like, Hannah doesn't want that. Don't plan that. And that would be silly of you to do. And this caused Rowan to get mad at Hannah, despite her having told him that she didn't want a party. So Rowan refused to plan any other celebrations for her and was just going to let her, like, not celebrate her 30th birthday.
Yeah, he's so annoying. I don't like this guy
at all. No, we hate him.
Like, why are you trying to control every single aspect of someone else's life?
Who hurt you? Like, you need to do some deep digging, you know?
So true.
Fortunately, Hannah's parents stepped in and they organized her a lovely, intimate gathering, which is what exactly she wanted, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
And also, this is petty of me, but I just wanted to mention it because it kind of, like, speaks to who Rowan is. So she'd said the only thing she wanted for her birthday was, like, a necklace with all of her kids' names on it. And instead of...
That's cute.
Yeah, that's really... That's a typical thing, and that's really cute. Mm-hmm. But instead of saving up and paying for it, Rowan asked her parents and her friends for money so that it could be, like, a community gift and chipped in. Like, he just didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, like, they would have done it themselves without you.
Yeah, so. But also, like, that's what she told you she wanted. Like, you should buy that. That should be, like, an intimate gift, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. He's, like, is not...
He's not right in the membrane. Not sane in the membrane.
I love that song.
So just 2 months later, in November of 2019, Rowan's behavior escalated. Hannah, because she's fucking amazing, had been selected to be a member of a national CrossFit team, and they were going to be competing.
Ooh. Nice.
Hannah and a male member of their gym, who we'll call Drew, qualified, but Rowan was not selected, and he actually encouraged Hannah to quit.
Oh, shocker. I didn't see that one coming.
Fortunately, Hannah refused, but Rowan punished her by making her take an intense gym class the morning of the competition. And when Hannah finished this class and came home, Rowan and all of the children were missing. So frantic, Hannah called her mom and said that Rowan was punishing her for competing in the competition without him. And Hannah was so worried that she actually threw up multiple times while on the phone. Finally, about an hour before the competition started, he texted Hannah and said that he couldn't believe she was still competing. And he didn't say where he was, when he was bringing the children home, or even if he was. And when Rowan came home later that day and she said, like, you know, what the fuck? He was like, oh, I just took him to the beach. So in relation to this incident, Rowan later told a mutual friend that he and Hannah had argued that morning, which explained why Hannah was late to compete at the competition, and he took the children and left. But when he left, he said that an old tape recorder was left on in the house, and he listened to Hannah's phone calls to her mother, telling the friend that Hannah was hysterical, and they both called him, Rowan, derogatory names. But the friend was like, hey, dude, like, it's, you know... It's not legal to, like, or ethical to record someone without their knowledge. Rowan was like, oh, it was one of the kids. It wasn't me.
I'll bet.
Lie. Come up with a better lie, dude.
He can't. That's the best one he can come
up
with.
I know. He's like, well, I'm so good at lying, they'll believe it.
Yeah. Why would you ever not believe me?
So somehow, despite Rowan's attempts to sabotage Hannah's performance, her team made it to the finals. And Hannah had told her daughter that she would take her to watch the finals, but Rowan was super insistent, saying that Aaliyah was not going to go.
Why?
Just because he's a dick. And this resulted in a huge fight. And when Hannah left the home with the daughter, Rowan grabbed Hannah's arm so hard that he left bruises, telling Hannah that they would talk about it later. But Hannah said there would be no more discussions and that once the weekend was over, she was officially done and leaving.
Good. Good for her.
The next week, Hannah was sad and she told her friends that she was, quote, keeping her head down at home. She also told her mother, Sue, that she was preparing to leave Rowan and to begin preparing the home for Hannah and her three kids.
That's so sad that you have to keep your head down at home. That is an abusive situation.
Yeah.
For sure. If you feel like...
Yeah, can't be yourself. That's... I never want anyone to feel like that. Hannah also confided in her mother that a few nights after the competition, she'd woken up in the middle of the night to see Rowan scrolling through her phone. When she asked what he was doing, he started to accuse her of having an affair with Drew, her partner on that national CrossFit team. And he just went ballistic. He screamed at Hannah about phone calls and messages with other people, which led Hannah to believe that he was likely taping her phone calls, reading her messages, and even tracking her car. And eventually that evening during that fight, he smashed Hannah's phone against the wall.
That's insane.
It's getting worse, yeah.
That is so insane.
On December 5th, 2019, Hannah decided to leave Rowan. With her best friend Nicole's help, she pulled Aaliyah out of school, grabbed the two other kids and a few things from their home, and hid Hannah's car so that he couldn't trace her. Mm-hmm. When Rowan found out she was leaving, he was furious and he began calling her. But fortunately, she's a little smarter than the average bear, so she left her phone behind in case he was tracking her. On December 6, 2019, Hannah went to the police station to obtain details on how to get a domestic violence order, but decided not to that day, telling her mother that she was afraid it would further anger Rowan.
Yeah, that's fair.
In order to keep the police, Hannah had agreed to let him see the children that day, or I'm sorry, in order just to keep the peace, she told him that he could see the children that day. But just hours after arrival, he refused to let Hannah take the children with her when she was leaving. Eventually, Hannah had to call her parents for help. And when they arrived, Rowan was like, oh, she's just being crazy. Like, she's making it up.
I'll bet.
And when Sue and Lloyd went to get the kids, Rowan started crying and begging on his knees for everyone to let the children stay the night with him. And ultimately, no. Hannah, Sue, and Lloyd did.
Why?
Fortunately, nothing happened. The next morning, Hannah arrived at the home to pick up the kids, and Rowan was like, yep, here they are. Also, can you please come back home? Because I've gotten a mental health assessment.
When did you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, between when? When you? At what time?
When did you have the time? Who did it? Yeah? And you're still here? Just roaming free. Yeah. Good for you.
She shouldn't worry because it's all good now. But luckily, Hannah was like, nah. Yeah. And
you go in, you get an assessment, and then, like, you're all good. It's like magic.
We all understand wow. it. Yeah. So she's like, nah.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
And went back to her parents' house.
He really thought that would work.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably did.
He really did. That's why he didn't do anything. He really thought that was going to work.
On Boxing Day in 2019, Rowan kidnapped their daughter, Leanna, after a visitation where he took the kids skateboarding at a local park. So, in this situation, both Hannah and Rowan were at the park, and he asked Hannah if he could keep the kids for the evening, to which she said no. He then got up, scooped Leanna, and walked away. Witnesses to the abduction said that the other children, Trey and Aaliyah, were crying and screaming no stop as Rowan walked to his vehicle, but he threw her in the car, unrestrained, and drove away.
He threw her in the car?
During this time, there was no domestic violence order, so there was nothing to legally stop him from taking his daughter, so it was difficult for the police to intervene here.
See?
It's just like you're literally just set up for failure.
Literally.
They can't act until something bad happens. Well, what if that something bad happens is when they murder you? Like,
yeah, that's what happens a lot.
So when police asked Hannah why she'd not taken out the domestic violence order, once again, she was worried. She said she was worried it would antagonize the situation.
I love the victim blaming in this situation because it's her fault, not the system's fault.
Yeah, why didn't you do it, you know? Yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah. Ultimately, Rowan kidnapped Liana for 3 days, and once she was returned, Hannah immediately filed a court protective order. The situation was deemed high risk, and Rowan was not allowed to go within 100 meters of his children. Thank God.
That seems too short.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish it was like a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan contested the domestic violence order in court on January 8th, 2020. A temporary protection order was issued, and Rowan was not to contact Hannah unless it was to contact the children. Unsurprising, no. Rowan did not follow this, and he continued to contact her and even stalk her.
Yeah, he was doing that before. But also, if there is a TPO out, like, you're not going to contact me.
Yeah.
Even to get to the kids. You're not.
Agreed. Hannah applied for stricter conditions on January 20th, 2020, and once again, Rowan tried to contest the order, telling the court that Hannah was only doing this to get the kids and hurt him.
Something he would do, yeah.
But fortunately, a mediator was put in place at some point to discuss a parenting plan, where they determined that the children were to live full-time with Hannah. However, they could spend every second weekend and every other Thursday to Friday with Rowan.
No, I'm good.
They were also to have 1-hour FaceTime calls at 6 p.m. every Tuesday and Thursday, and all changeovers were to take place at Sue and Lloyd's house where Hannah was living. Rowan didn't like this, so he accused Hannah of having an affair not only with the judge, but also with the mediator in charge of the case.
That is so funny. Like, He actually believes this too. I guarantee it.
On January 31st, 2020, Rowan returned Trey to Hannah at 9 a.m. at the Clark's home. And when Hannah walked up to the car to get her son, she saw... So sources say explicit photos of herself. So I'm assuming like nudes that she probably took with her husband, thinking that he was a good dude.
Or he forced her to.
Yeah. Could be so many ways. But either way, most likely, nude photographs of her, which she grabbed and tried to walk away with. And when she did, Rowan got out of the car, followed her, and grabbed her wrist really hard. And so Sue heard Hannah screaming, so she called the police.
Good.
Who they came, they defused the situation. Rowan left, you know, and they moved on. So the next day, Hannah went to the doctors where it was determined that the grab had resulted in a sprained wrist that required a splint.
Jeez.
So 2 days later, on February 2nd, the police went to Rowan's home to question him about assaulting Hannah and breaching her protective order. Allegedly, Rowan refused, telling him that he wanted a lawyer present and that he'd already reported the incident to a separate precinct who told him they would be following up later.
Please tell me that they did not believe him and then just walk away.
Well, they told him that if he refused to participate in an interview, then they would have the right to arrest him. But Rowan said, okay, before I participate, I want to call my lawyer. And then the cops left.
What?
Because Rowan said, don't worry, I'll call you back. Like, I'll call you once I figure it out.
No?
Allegedly, when the police were leaving, they told Rowan that the order was still in place and that if he breached it again, he would be taken immediately to jail, to which Rowan replied, quote, I'm very smart about what I do.
I hate him.
I hate him so much. On February 13th, 2020, Hannah and her friend Lou were spending the day together, and according to her friend, Hannah told her, quote, I can see it in his eyes. He's following me everywhere. I don't think he's going to kill the kids, but I think he's going to kill me, end quote.
You would be wrong, but...
He's that much of a monster, girl.
And that shows you, like...
He hit it so well.
She really thought he had some kind of moral code.
Yeah, he hit it so well. They had 3 kids. I genuinely don't think most women have 3 kids with someone that they know is a monster, be outside of situations where they're forced to. But I'm just like...
He was forcing her to have sex every night. So, like, that's rape, so...
Like, I think that she probably... Like, she didn't start her relationship with him because he was a monster. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, she dated him because she thought he was a good dude. And then slowly this came out and it was like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? And I'm sure you hold on to the hope of he'll be the person he was.
Right. And I'm not really sure, like, I know that people put on a front and everything and, like, a lot of people are charismatic, but I just don't, like, everything that you're telling me about this guy, like,
he sucks.
I don't see how he could be charismatic, like, at any point in time.
Yeah, I hate him. And again, this is, like, hindsight's 2020, you know? Like, I'm sure there's might have been some redeeming qualities deep, deep in there. But we don't have to talk about those because he's a fucking monster. Anyway.
So true. Fuck that guy.
On February 17th, 2020, Rowan was recorded on CCTV entering a local hardware store. He browsed a number of aisles before ultimately purchasing a green jerry can, which is like, you know, that shit you put gas in. Gas can. Isn't that what we call them here?
What do you mean? In Missouri?
In the U.S.
Oh, fucking
hell. Yeah, the gas cans where you fill it up at a pump and then you can use it. Yeah, but they call them jerry cans.
I just call them gas cans. Oh, dude, okay.
Zip ties and a bottle of basically like lighter fluid.
Arson with zip ties.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Me neither. So he also stopped by his aunt's house and asked if he could borrow her car for a trip up the coast since his used up too much gas, and his aunt agreed.
No.
Which, she's not a part of this. She's just an innocent bystander who's taken advantage of.
Yeah.
On February 18th, 2020, Rowan called one of his friends and said that Hannah had taken everything from him. He claimed that he had no money, no way out, and that he'd just been served with an eviction notice.
Bye.
He also called another friend that day crying because he could only FaceTime his children on Tuesdays and Thursday nights since Hannah had restricted her access after he assaulted her and sprained her wrist.
How dare she? How dare she, he said.
How dare she care about her safety and the safety of her children? That bitch.
She's being so cruel.
Yeah.
So cruel. Just, and he's done nothing to warrant
nothing to deserve this. Why do women hate him?
Nothing.
Sound familiar? That's an incel. Anyway. Later that same evening, he called Hannah and the kids and was crying to them as well. Hannah told her mother, oh my God, what if he kills himself?
Stop worrying about him at this point.
I know.
Like, I get it. You're a nice person, but shit.
So later that night, Hannah texted her friend Nikki, who said, is it weird that I feel bad? Like, not bad enough to go back or let him have the kids, but I still feel bad that he was that upset. To which Nikki replied, you're a good person. I'm glad you don't get joy out of his suffering. This isn't your fault. And Hannah responded, thanks, I needed to hear that. I'm feeling bad. I don't like other people's suffering, but at the same time, he brought it all on himself. It could have been so different.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nikki replied, Rowan needs professional help. It's a shame all those times that you were sad and miserable, he didn't show you the same empathy. You couldn't save him, babe, but you did your damn best.
Not only didn't show you empathy, but actively worked to
harm you. He harmed you, girl.
By using your children. That's...
Yeah.
Nope. If they will use your kids just to hurt you, they will kill them.
So on February 19th, 2020, the day began typical for Hannah and the Clark family. Hannah got up around 6:30, picked up coffee for her and her mother. When Hannah returned, she sat on her mom's bed while her mom got ready for work. The two girls played in their bedroom, and Trey was watching a dinosaur show on the TV. At about 7:20 a.m., Sue kissed her daughter and grandchildren goodbye and told Hannah that she loved her for the last time. Meanwhile, at around 8:15 a.m., Rowan drove to the Clark's residence in his aunt's car, so Hannah obviously wasn't able to spot it, and he parked across the street. At about 8:17, Hannah exited the home and put her three children in their car seats and entered the car. At the same time, Rowan entered the car as well and held a knife to her neck, instructing her to drive, which she did. At around 8:25 a.m., Michael Zemke was in the driveway of his house washing his car. Hannah pulled over in front of Michael and screamed, "Call the police. He's going to kill me. He's just poured petrol on me."
Jeez.
Michael told the police that he remembered seeing Rowan in the front seat and that he was physically restraining Hannah from getting out of the car by holding her around the arms and chest with both of his arms. Michael noted that right after Hannah yelled at him, quote, "At that point, it sounded like a bomb went off. It was so loud. I felt the shockwaves. The car was engulfed in flames almost instantly. The car exploded about 10 meters from where I was."
Holy shit.
So after the car caught on fire, somehow Hannah got out, and we're not quite sure if Michael pulled her out or if she got out on her own because Michael was really burned trying to help her.
That's so sad.
And he was actually spraying her down with the hose. And once Hannah's flames were extinguished, Michael went over to help Rowan as well. Mm-hmm. At this time, Rowan was able to walk around despite having, you know, being in the car that exploded. And he made no attempt at putting out the fire or to retrieve his three children.
Yeah, no shit.
Witnesses later recalled that Rowan was actively threatening people who attempted to rescue the children and even help Hannah at some point. Eventually, because like a bunch of neighbors ran out and they were all trying to put out the fire in the car, when the flames had been extinguished enough, Rowan dove back into the car, not for his children, but to retrieve a knife to which he used to complete suicide by stabbing himself in the heart. When the emergency services arrived, Hannah remained lucid enough to introduce herself despite having severe burns to more than 97% of her body. She told the first responders, quote, "My babies are in the car. My ex-partner told me to pull the car over. Then he squirted petrol on us and threw a lighter in the car." Hannah then asked a nearby officer if her children were okay, to which she responded that it was more important to concentrate on herself right now. And Hannah was flown to the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital, where she ultimately died of her wounds at 5:40 p.m., surrounded by her family and friends.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. When the fire was extinguished, the bodies of Aaliyah, Leanna, and Trey were found in the back seat of the car. It's thought that the children basically died instantly by the flames. They died because of the smoke and the flames, and they were pronounced deceased on the scene, and all three had been burned so badly that they could not be visually identified. So a coroner's inquest was held into the deaths of Hannah Clark and her three children, which was heavily used as a source and is linked in our show notes. They recognized Hannah's, quote, "outstanding bravery" and stated that it was very unlikely anyone could have stopped Rowan Baxter from murdering his family.
Yep.
Jane Bentley, who was the coroner, stated, quote, "Baxter was not mentally ill, but a master of manipulation. I find it unlikely that any further actions taken by police officers, service providers, friends, or family members could have stopped Baxter from ultimately executing his murderous plan."
I agree.
She recommended that police in Australia be required to prevent similar deaths, such as Hannah's, from occurring. The training included a 5-day face-to-face training by specialists in domestic violence, a mandatory face-to-face domestic violence for all officers, and state government funding for men's behavioral change programs in prisons and communities.
Good.
Hannah's parents have started a foundation called Small Steps for Hannah, which focuses on helping and rehabilitating domestic violence offenders, which is really, really interesting. And their mission statement is, quote, "The Small Steps for Hannah Foundation exists to halt," which is an acronym for Hannah, Aaliyah, Leanna, and Trey, "exists to halt the cycle of domestic violence so that everyone can feel respected, informed, confident to act, and safe."
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So Lloyd, Hannah's father, stated, "Perpetrators are still humans. Maybe if we can get into their minds and find out why they need to go so far with this, we'll be able to turn things around." End quote.
They're so kind.
In 2020, Hannah was honored in Marie Claire's first edition of the Women of the Year list for her incredible acts of bravery in the final hours of her life. So if you or someone you know is suffering from domestic violence, you may call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233, or you can text START, that is START, at 1-800-799-7233. And that is a story of the murder of Hannah Clark and her three children, Aaliyah, Layana, and Trey.
I hate it.
Thanks, I hate it. I
completely forgot about it on purpose. Yeah, I started remembering, like, towards the end, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
I know where this is going, and I hated it the first time, and I hate it this time, but I do think that I have a different perspective now than back then.
Yes, absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Like, still, obviously, dude is a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a shitbag, but the family was right. Like, he had his own issues, and
he's still human. Like, you can recognize all the flaw, like everything he did, you can recognize his greatness and his flaws and still condemn his actions and say, yep, he's a horrible human who I wish the justice system could have worked this time and prevented these deaths, but also I wish he was around to be sentenced for what he did to these four individuals. Like, fuck you. Yeah. To the max, bro. Fuck you. So, yeah. And also, the Small Steps for Hannah will be linked in our bio, so you can donate to that or, you know, just peruse. Good clicks are always clicks, so thank you. And that's episode 2 of season 3. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you come back next week. And welcome to everyone new. We are so happy you're here. We have a good time over here. We have a safe space.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if people want to reach out, that's totally fine.
Hell yeah. Go check out our Instagram. We'll have photos of Hannah and her children and this dirtbag Rowan.
Who at one point used to be a good person, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Hannah saw something in him, so.
That's true, and she was very nice.
Yeah, she's a dope bitch, so hopefully. But we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Okay, bye.